Let's talk about creative ways to reduce our cost of capital for self-storage developments in today's environment. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer small investors who want to get in the self-storage business or who want to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about the classes and the training I offer at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Feel free to see all the free training and blogs there. And then you can click the Quick Start Academy and see the courses, both paid and free, that are there for small investors getting in or growing their self-storage business. But the cost of capital is high today to do self-storage deals and boat and RV deals. I talked about last week how Public Storage, anyway, and I tend to agree, thinks that the number of new developments coming online is going to be significantly lower. And part of the reason is interest rates. Cost of capital is very high. I've been thinking about, like, creative alternatives to reduce that cost of capital so that we can do developments today. And I'm going to share with you an idea that I thought I came up with, but I realize other people have done it too. But I'll share that with you in just a minute. In full disclosure, I've not done this technique yet. I'm in the process of doing it on a piece of land that's under control right now. I've run it by my attorney and gotten a blessing. In fact, they've done something similar to what I was proposing on some other deals, so I guess I'm not the smartest guy out there, but I'll share with you this technique. I haven't done it. I'm attempting to do it, but I thought I'd go on and talk about it. Usually I only share things I've done, but I'll go on and talk about it in this episode, and maybe it could support some of you all. So in the good old days, and what I mean by that is pre-interest rate hikes, I've said thousands of times that bank financing is usually the cheapest money in the capital stack. How do you like that term? I sound like I know what I'm talking about. And all capital stack is all the money that goes into doing a self-storage deal between your money, investor money, bank loans, mezzanine, whatever you're doing, wherever the money's coming from to do the deal, that's the capital stack. So in the old days, bank financing was generally the cheapest. Let's look at kind of a project I might have done up until last couple years. Let's say that it's a development deal, or I'm buying an existing property, expanding it, but the total cost of the project is $2.5 million. In the old days, I would have used bank financing for as much as I comfortably could, because that was cheap money. I could get it 4.75, but let's just use 4.5% interest, and I would typically get a 75% loan. With SBA, it'd be even higher. But my cost of capital in that particular deal would have been $84,375. And then I would have raised money from investors for the equity in the deal, or if you're putting your money in the deal, if I was putting my money in a deal, I'd want more than 9%. You know, preferred return. But with investors, I typically, let's say in 2018, 2019, I was paying an 8 or 9% preferred return for 25% of the equity. So that would cost me $56,250 a year. So my cost of capital in this fictitious $2.5 million project was $140,625 a year, or it would be 5.63%. That was my cost of capital up until a few years ago. Now let's look at the same deal today using the $2.5 million, and let's look at what our cost of capital for that same structure would be today. Now I've got a 75% loan. Might be a little hard to get a 75% loan today, especially if it's a ground-up development. And most ground-up developments are more than $2.5 million, but let's use the same numbers. to see what the cost of capital is. And interest rates have really gone up, especially in development. Why? Well, because in construction loans and short-term loans for real estate, those interest rates typically are indexed off prime rate, and prime rate's 8.5%. So the last quote I got for a construction project was 9.25%, which was 0.75% over prime rate. So let's look at the numbers. Same $2.5 million deal, same 75% loan to value, bank loan 9.25%. My yearly interest on that, especially, you know, during the IO period, the interest only period, is $173,438. Same investor 9% preferred return, although we probably have less preferred return today, but the same 9%, $50,000. So with today's cost of capital, for the same deal, my cost of capital went up $89,063 a year. So in today's world, my cost of capital being close to, let's say, 9% on that deal, you'd say, well, why don't you just syndicate the whole thing at 7 or 8%, which is kind of the preferred rate today. Well, that's a valid approach. However, have you ever tried to raise the full amount of the money for a syndication? It's hard to raise money today, especially for developments. I'm not saying you can't. It's just more challenging and more time-consuming. So I've been looking at trying to figure out creative ways to keep my cost of capital down. If I knock 1% or 2% off my cost of capital, it makes a huge difference in whether the project could be successful or not. Now, many of you all will say, well, the obvious answer is seller financing. Well, seller financing is great. The only problem is when I'm doing a development, I need money. I need cash. And seller financing isn't going to give me any cash. And the seller is going to have to subordinate to the people who will give me cash. And usually they don't like doing that. And I've done seller financing deals before where the landowner will subordinate to a bank for a few years. And if you can do that, great. But it really doesn't solve my main problem, which is getting my hands on cash and keeping my cost of capital down. It can certainly help if they will subordinate. Most sellers won't. So I was back to my, how do I get my cost of capital down? I thought about DSTs, Delaware Statutory Trusts. Those are heavily regulated syndications, in essence, where somebody can 1031 out of wherever, whatever deal you have, and 1031 that money into a DST, Delaware Statutory Trust, as a passive investor. Now, I don't want to turn my project into a DST. First of all, the vetting process, and I've gone through it, the vetting process you've got to go through, plus the ongoing SEC regulations and the audited financial statements yearly. It's just a business I don't want to be in. It's a heavily regulated business, and I'm in the DST business, not the storage business. So I don't want to go that route, same reason I don't want to go a fund route. But I've been intrigued with DSTs because I've seen people go into these things excited to get a 5 or 6% cash-on-cash return. People, including myself, will do odd things very often when we're faced with a clock ticking and, let's say, a six-figure capital gain liability coming up. And many people excitedly and very happily will go into DSTs. They'll go into other investment vehicles where they don't have to pay taxes. So I was trying to think, without doing a DST, how could I offer something with a 5 or 6% return? And then it hit me. Land lease. A land lease could solve that problem, at least temporarily, for somebody in a 1031. As a broker, what I've realized is most 1031s today don't go through because owners have a hard time finding replacement property. What if somebody in a 1031, and they're moving up to day 45, in the timetable on a 1031, you basically have 45 days to identify the property, 180 days to close on it. But let's say somebody in a time crunch trying to do a 1031, they could literally take title to the land. Now, we're doing a deal in Florida where we've got a piece of land under control, $3.5 million for a boat and RV and mixed-use development. So what if, instead of being an investor in my project, somebody in a 1031 just 1031 into the land, took title to it, and then I, as the developer, leased the land back from them for a time period. What time period? Well, we'd have the land lease on a 50-year land lease, but within 3 to 5 years, that land lease owner could roll their land lease into the development itself, and they would get the value of what the value of the land is in the deal. Didn't know if that could work, so I went and talked with my attorney, and he said they've done similar things. So in this potential deal I'm doing, it is land for $3.5 million. Total development cost would be $16 million. It's a boat and RV project and a small and some flex space project. Total development for the whole thing, $16 million. So let's look at the cost of capital going the traditional route as I was initially underwriting it. $19.5 million deal, bank loan, 9.25%, 70% loan to value. My interest yearly on that 70% would be $1,262,625. 8% preferred return for 30% equity. My cost yearly for that equity is $468. Total cost $1,736,25 or 8.8% is my cost of capital in that deal. How can I get that down a little bit? So our deal when stabilized, and boat and RV rents up quick and flex space rents up very, very quick, that project, we're projecting at a 7 cap, is going to be worth between $26 and $27 million. When is the most risky time of any development project? It's during the construction and the lease-up. The conversation with the person in the 1031 is, during the time period, the most risky part of the deal, you're going to be getting a 5% cash-on-cash return for your money. Just like as if you went into a DST today. But then you have the option of exchanging the value of your land into the project after it's stabilized and have your equity participate in a $25, $26, $27 million deal and get the cash flow that that thing generates as well as the upside when it's disposed of. So they're protected and make money, get cash flow during the risky part of the deal, and then they participate in the upside. Now, you may say, well, when they exchange their land into the deal, isn't that a taxable event? Very well, could be. Here's my thought. When these projects are stabilized, usually we're refinancing it, pulling cash out, and putting a non-recourse loan on it. So I'm going to have cash at that moment. As a developer, I could pay that capital gain at that time for that land lease owner, and then I could reduce the value of the land by the cost of the capital gain. Yes, he would be going in with less value in as equity, but he had to come up with no cash out of pocket to pay that gain. I would pay it out of the refinance proceeds. Then if it was a $200,000 capital gain, then the value of his land rolling in as equity would be $3.3 million. The benefits to the person going under the land lease are, one, they avoid the capital gain and can 1031 into the land. Two, they get a cash distribution during the construction and the riskiest part of the development deal. They reduce their risk during that time period. Then they can participate in the upside of that development after it's stabilized. The benefits to me is I'm reducing my cost to capital 1 or more %. I'm borrowing less money from the bank. And I'm raising less equity because I've got $3,500,000 of it right there in the land. Let's look at what the cost of capital is under this scenario. $19.5 million deal. Land lease, 3.5 of that 19.5, I'm paying 5% on. That's $175,000 a year. 75% of just the development cost at 9.25% interest is $1,036,000 a year. And the 8% preferred on the 30% equity of just the development cost would be $384,000 a year. So my cost to capital has gone from 1.73 down to 1.595. I've reduced my cost to capital almost 1% in this particular scenario. Now, cost of capital is not the only thing I look at, whether I'm going to do a deal or not, but it is important. Look, we're only limited by the creativity and our thinking. By doing a project this way, it's like taking my construction loan from 9.25% down to 8.35%. Who wouldn't do that in today's environment? I'm interested in other creative ways that you guys have reduced your cost of capital in today's environment. Let me know your thoughts. For me right now, the game is I want to get assets now. I want to get in storage deals and development projects that, although I might not be getting the exact return I want, but if I'm profitable and can generate a return and figure an angle to get in it now, then when interest rates and cap rates do come down, rather than getting in at that moment, I'm selling at that moment. At least that's the game I'm playing at the moment. Let me know what game you're playing and any creative ways you can think of that could reduce the cost of capital and actually allow small investors like us to get in the storage game. Be sure to put your comments where everyone can see them. And thank you very much. And I look forward to being with you next week as we continue talking about playing this game of self-storage. I'll see you then.